verse from the book of Jeremiah. Can you hear me? This is the story of Jeremiah's call to be a prophet. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whenever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And the next reading is from 1 Corinthians 13. I think you all know this. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophesies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love."
Thank you, Lynn. Bob Hope. Maybe many of you remember Bob Hope. Bob Hope once said to an audience, "I've found the secret of eternal youth. I lie about my age." In our scripture reading this morning, the prophet Jeremiah is most notable for his young age. Because of his young age, Jeremiah is highly reluctant to speak to his people. The decision to speak is a difficult one to make for anyone. Insecurities reign. Even last night, truth be told, I had insomnia from about 2:30 in the morning because I had to speak today. We often worry about what to say. We agonize also about what not to say. Perhaps we know what to say and not say, but we know not how to say it. It's often how one says something that makes all the difference. We frequently are also unsure about when to say something. Timing is often also key. The prophet Jeremiah experienced all of these doubts throughout his ministry. I have a feeling that Jeremiah suffered far more insomnia than I. In our scripture reading this morning, we hear how Jeremiah doubted when to speak. But in our reading, God affirmed Jeremiah and said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you for my own. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." To this, Jeremiah retorted, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." Jeremiah was likely a young teenager when he began his ministry. And let's face it, most adults don't give youth much credit. One meme I would like to show you says, "Welcome to being a parent of teenagers. Prepare for large amounts of eye rolling, emotional outbursts, and thoughts of running away." And that's just the parents. It hasn't been my experience, but it is the stereotype. Another meme states, "I have no need for Google. I have teenagers that know it all." And one last meme states that parenting is a lot like an automated phone attendant. You're hopeful at first, but then you just end up repeating yourself and then yelling. Jeremiah feared this sort of stereotype of young people. He feared that he was too uneducated or he was too inexperienced to speak. No doubt he felt that no matter if he spoke appropriately, no one will listen to him, for he had not yet the credibility, the authority, nor legitimacy as a young person. During the course of his ministry, Jeremiah not only wrestled with when to speak, but also what and how to speak. Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet, for he issued highly offensive, negative, and extremely, really, depressing messages of condemnation and warning. I promise you that if I preached what Jeremiah preached to this congregation, I would not have lasted more than a month before the council would have relieved me of my call, and Jim would have, his head would have been in his hands. Jeremiah not only described how invading armies would defeat his nation and his people, but he did so in extreme detail. And it was like, the way he did it, it was like pouring salt, a little bit of Tabasco sauce, and maybe even some rubbing alcohol into the wound. Jeremiah proclaimed doom to Jerusalem. Just listen to this one excerpt from chapter 4. "Hordes of invaders will come from a distant land, howling against the cities of Jerusalem. Your defenses will close in around you because you rebelled against God." Jeremiah told his people that not only is the proverbial poo going to hit the fan, but it's their fault that it does. Saying, quote, your own ways, your own deeds will bring all of this upon you. This is your punishment, and all this comes from your rebellion. Now, let us switch gears quickly. From 1 Corinthians, we hear the words most commonly uttered at weddings. Here, Paul tells his readers that they are all one body, remember from last week, that they all have a part to play in the ministry. No one part is more important than the other. Paul acknowledges many different roles that people play in ministry, but none are favorable or efficacious in God's sight if they are not done in love. Love must be the foundation of all that we do. My preaching is rubbish if I do not love you, the congregation. Of course, while I do love you, my preaching may still be rubbish. The finances should be managed with love, not with a sense of control or power. If we sing, it is not to be in the limelight. It is out of and with love. If we serve, as we will tonight at the overflow shelter, our service should be motivated from a love that we have for those we serve, even if they're difficult to love. Greeters should greet not out of sense of duty, but as a compulsion motivated by love, welcoming all. Paul even says that one's prophesying is not from God if it is not born out of a deep well of love. And Paul concludes by saying, there are three things that last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's at this point I wanted to break out the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. All you need is love. Okay, next week when we get all the audio, visual, and screens going, we'll do that. Friends, it's fair then to ask, for all of Jeremiah's condemnation and weeping, how did Jeremiah exhibit faith, hope, and most importantly, love in his prophecies? Well, if we go ahead in the story, if we jump all the way to chapter 32, we learn that Jeremiah bought land. In chapter 32, it explains how Jeremiah made a real estate purchase that Dart would have urged against with the strongest tone. The land that was purchased under siege, and it had already been occupied by an invading army. It was devastated and it was worthless. Yet Jeremiah bought it, demonstrating faith, hope, and most importantly, love for the people to whom he prophesied. Jeremiah preached about the land he purchased, saying, quote, yet in this place shall be heard once again the sounds of joy and gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the bride. For he is good, for his love endures forever. I will restore the fortunes of the Lamb as once they were. Friends, I've been up in our church tower, and I've seen all the names of our youth of old that we sang about in our first hymn. I've seen the confirmation students. When we were here for the Martin Luther King Day service, I saw all of those youth downstairs preparing that meal. And I also recall this Friday at Loaves and Fishes seeing a bunch of volunteer youth working for Carry Me Home. I have a dream for the restoration of our children and our youth in this congregation, and we're beginning to see it. But we need to nurture and we need to raise these youth so that they can also become prophets. They are out there, and they don't fit the stereotype that I joked about. They are beautiful, intelligent, and they care deeply about this world, and they are often far more in tune with issues of inclusivity and creativity than we are. As we conclude this sermon series on inclusivity matters, we are urged by our readings to listen to and invest in our children and in our young adults as they become young adults. Some of their words may be harsh. I have heard them even from my own. Dad, your church Facebook page is so outdated. The church should also be on Instagram. Thank you, Gina. Reverend, the furnishing in the parlor is dated. The furnishings can be more modern and contemporary. We've heard that. Council, the Riverside Room does not inspire our children. Can we repurpose it and design it so that it speaks to and expresses our love and investment for our children? Mission and service. Can we make our open and affirming status more prominent, more public, and more about deed than gesture? Deacons, can the sanctuary be better equipped to communicate with technology, the gospel of Jesus Christ? I have heard all of our young people, though they are few, express these desires. They are not stated out of bitterness, but out of love. Let us, as a people of faith, respond not in defensiveness, but also in love. For it matters not what we pray, not what we sing, not what we preach, not what we teach, not what we serve, if we do not do so out of love. This was the word of God. And it was preached to the people of God. And the people of God responded, Amen.